Welcome to the studio cast. This is Todd Waller here with my partners Sarah and Jeffrey.
Hello.
And we're here to talk today about staging. You've heard staging. You may think you know what staging is, but we have a little bit of a take on staging that might be a little bit different than the average bear out there. Jeffrey, why don't you set the table for us here?
I love the stage.
You love the stage?
Put me on the stage. I love to perform.
Our resident thespian.
Wait, you're not talking about that stage.
It's like on HGTV where they back in a semi-truck and then a team of 35 people come and put a whole house full of furniture in
there. That's exactly what we do, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Well, let's break down staging, because a lot of people tend to think, oh, staging, like stagers, like you're hiring somebody and they're going to bring in furniture and, oh, wow, that's going to cost me thousands of dollars, and then they're going to re-up it if it doesn't sell in a certain amount of time.
Right.
Staging is getting your home ready, and that doesn't require anyone coming in other than you focusing with us on what's going to show the property the best. How much clutter do you have? What can you put away? What should a closet look like? What should a living room look like? What should a basement look like? And most of us, probably even homeowners, have an idea of what that should be. But if you're like me and my wife, when we sold our house last year and realized just how much stuff we had not gotten rid of, you want to get a jump on that. So let's start out that staging is also decluttering, organizing, getting rid of, putting in the right place, moving furniture. In addition, it can also involve a stager. Sarah, talk about a stager. What are they doing?
So there are levels to staging, just like you mentioned. And if I've got a property, in particular one where I know my seller is going to be vacating and leaving nothing in the house, I think it's important to have something in the house, both for photographs, because nothing is sadder than photographing an empty room. And also because when buyers come through, if they're standing in a room, it's very difficult to judge with your eyes when there's no reference point.
Right.
The room, it's ironic or not, it's counterintuitive.
There it is.
But a room will look smaller without furniture because you just don't have anything for your eye to focus on. You know how big a love seat is. You know how big a twin bed is. So if you're in a room that has a bed, you go, oh, okay, yeah, my bed's about this size, and you can really feel yourself in the space. So what we do sometimes, depending on the situation, is we can offer to help facilitate. We do work with stagers in the area, professional stagers that have warehouses full of furniture, often in different styles. And we invite them to come to the house for a free consultation. We can help the seller discuss what rooms want, you know, they want staged. We don't always do every single house, right? We're not, or every single room in every house.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to stage the pantry very often, you know? I mean, so there are some key rooms that generally will look good. And, you know, sometimes we get these houses where the floor plan's just a little funky. And it really helps to, with especially working with a professional stager, to kind of brainstorm, like, how would a typical buyer want to see that space? And we create that space. Right. And then we get the proposal, Jeffrey, and then, you know.
Well, in the book, you're talking about different spaces, too. Think of it this way. You know, a bookshelf is a quick view that any homeowner can look at. And if your bookshelf is so crowded that you have books laying on top of the spines of books, it's overbooked. It's overshelved.
It's overbooked.
Wow. It's like Jeffrey's been in my house.
See where I went there? No, but the professional stagers that we do bring in, and to your point, you know, you're not staging a kitchen to be anything other than a kitchen.
Right, of course.
So as a homeowner, if you've got some cookbooks, if you've got, if you have a coffee maker that you have coffee every day, great. It should be on the counter. If you also have a KitchenAid blender and a Breville this and da 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 da, and you use them once in a blue moon, they can go away.
Right.
Because you don't show how big a countertop is by how many things you can put on it.
Well, one thing I like about professional stagers that I think they're very good at generally is they do a lot of color coordination.
Yes.
I mean, you could do this yourself too, but if you look at a photograph of a staged property, a professionally staged property, or just somebody who's, you know, a great decorator, one of the things that's really key is color coordination, right? Or just a paring down of the number of colors, a paring down of pattern.
Absolutely.
Because as I tell my clients, when you are looking at your app, you know, your Zillow app or what, you know, pick an app of choice, and you're just flipping through photos, you're really looking at a screen that's like 1 to 2 inches. And the more stuff in that photo, the more color, the more pattern, the more items, the less you can see the room for itself and want to schedule that showing. And I think stagers do a good job of pulling the theme together of a house and really making a coherent feeling to the listing.
And Sarah, to that point, I love the fact that you talked about your app of choice. That is something that I've talked with sellers about time and time again, specifically sellers that I know are also in the process of purchasing or have recently completed the process of purchasing. Hey, guys, recall what you did or are doing. As your thumb is floating through those pictures, what are the pictures of houses and rooms that cause you to stop scrolling?
Right.
Either that image is amazing in the sense that, wow, this is a great, well-composed image, the colors and everything is organized nicely, or it's an absolute wreck. But your thumb stopped for a reason. Mm-hmm. Why? And I'm willing to bet that 9 times out of 10, you're stopping because the image grabs you.
Right.
You stare at it. So if that image grabs you and you stare at it, and it's an image of a living room of a home that you kind of like, what is it about that image that caused you to stop?
Mm-hmm.
Guarantee it's because it's been the room has been simplified, it's been decluttered, and it has a theme that's going through it, either in the style of the furniture or the color or some amalgam of all those things. So,
and like, it's not a giant moose head that somebody shot.
Unless it's
a hunting lodge.
Exactly.
That could work.
But point of being, if you go back to COVID time, where people couldn't go anywhere, and so everything came into your house.
Right.
So your gym that you went to suddenly was in your house.
Bedroom even.
Your bedroom. Maybe even a Peloton in your bedroom.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
Just for the record, folks, Jeffrey doesn't like to see exercise equipment laying out and about. He would like it to be in a wellness room.
Well, no, here. That's true.
That's an inside joke here.
I would say this. All of a sudden, every space in your house had more of a purpose.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
And when a buyer's coming through a house, if you have a space, and let's say in this day and age, there's a whole range of people that still want some sort of workout area or wellness area in their house. They still want some virtual office or those different spaces. If you've got an empty space that's big enough for a couple of yoga mats, some hand weights, and water, then all of a sudden, for the buyer coming in, you've created an in-home gym, a wellness area, whatever you want to call it. The interesting thing in a conversation I had the other day was that we don't use the term great flex space as much, because saying flex space means that the buyer gets to assign the purpose of that space. And they may think it has very little value.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to saying, instead of saying great flex space, great virtual office, great potential wellness area.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you say flex, it's saying whatever you want it to be.
Right.
And then you've given over the value proposition to the person who's coming in who may think it doesn't have any value in there.
Yep.
But.
Well, I have had stagers, in fact, when we sold our last house, I had a stager come in to help because we had most of the furniture we wanted, but there were some things that we didn't have. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had never put a table in our formal dining room. We used it for all kinds of things. It was a flex space, but when we were ready to sell, we knew that it was time to market it with a formal dining room. So I had the stager come and he put a table and, appropriate dining furniture. And then he did some tchotchkes and some things elsewhere in the house and some, more neutral art. And again, help with decorating and staging. And it's fantastic. So there are some hybrid options that stagers have as well.
You mentioned art, and let's just approach the topic of personal family photos or photos. Give me your take on how much is too much, where do you go with that?
I think that any more, depends on the house, obviously. I mean, when realtors back in the day used to advise people, don't have any personal photos. I think that sometimes they were responding to the tendency at that time to have, the gallery wall, like the ancestral hallway of photos.
Here's my family tree.
And I don't know that that's really in vogue anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we should avoid that kind of, and here is a gallery wall of my ancestral tree.
Yep.
But I think most of the time, I don't tell sellers to put it away if it's tastefully done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I guess
it's probably more the distraction.
I think it depends. Yeah, much, it's again, yeah. it's just a visual clutter issue.
I think that's a case by case basis.
Yeah.
Like, in addition to the family photos, is there a whole bunch of other artwork or photos on the wall as well?
Sure. Or books and, or political things or any, you know, you definitely want to be conscientious of like people's reaction to your personal belongings if they're going to be offensive.
It's perfectly all right to have an opinion.
Or I guess offensive is a strong word. But, you know, let's be honest. We're in a divided world, folks.
It's perfectly all right to have an opinion and to throw those things out there. Just know the more you throw that opinion out in photos, in banners, displays inside your personal property, the greater the likelihood of someone going, yeah, this was the home for me, but no.
Did I ever tell you about the cigarette carton collection that I found in a basement one time?
No.
I would destage that.
Yeah. I'm now, just saying.
I want to talk about one option that I've been using a lot over the last couple of years, and I think to good effect. And that is if I have a client, again, who's leaving a house vacant and maybe really doesn't want to spend the money that it costs to have something professionally staged, which we should talk about that.
Yeah.
But because I don't think it's exorbitant. But nevertheless, you know, depending on the situation, the buyer just didn't feel like doing that. And that's okay, because we've got a couple of companies that will do what's called virtual staging. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, sometimes they're so good.
Yeah.
I can't even tell when I'm looking at the photos.
Right.
I'm like, flip through and they're really, really sophisticated in the way they do the shadows and the way they do, you know, the I can see that room from this room and it's a different angle. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's very effective because, again, we're trying to get buyers who are just flipping through photos on their app to stop, grab their attention and go, ooh, I want to schedule a showing. Yep. And then, you know, the other photos, you're not doing every single room that way, but it's enough to grab the attention with buyers, and that's what we're looking for.
I saw something recently where clearly the home had been virtually staged. Not every room had a virtual staging piece in it, but I thought it was very smart on behalf of the agent. Whoever had this home listed showed you first the staged photo and then showed the unstaged photo. It was the same image but without the virtual furniture in there, and I thought that's a really good move.
I like to do the staged ones first, though, because I'm going to grab the buyer, and then I roll right into the unstaged photos.
Yeah. So it was like, literally, it was like if you...
But I don't do the side by side.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, because I like the nicer pictures to be like the first five photos. I think it's really smart to have like, ooh, the buyer is just flipping through and they're like, oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah.
By the time they get to photo number six.
But you're putting the other ones in there so that if they come to a showing and they're like, ooh, this doesn't look like the picture with all the furniture in it.
Absolutely.
You don't want them to think.
No, I mean, people should know that they're walking into a bit. But I just think it's really, it has been really effective. I've had good success with that, I think, with virtual staging. And, you know, it's an add-on fee for my photography, and it works well.
I want to mention one thing about exterior staging.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys remember. I had an exterior staging company called Curb Service. And, you know, we talk about curb appeal. We talk about, you know, elements that you can do to the house so that when as the buyer's pulling up. And I used to say in my consultations, you know, every house is different depending on where it's placed and the landscape and things like that, to the point of when do I see that house? If I'm a buyer, I'm driving down the street, I'm counting addresses, I'm anticipating seeing the house that I saw online, and they might see it from three houses away.
Right.
So from three houses away, their brain is starting to process and analyze this house. Does it look like I thought it would look? Does it look like the price that they're offering it at and all those things? So it's really important to kind of look at your house from that perspective. Sometimes you're on a curve or something and you won't even see it until you're practically in the driveway. But as soon as you do, the impression starts. And so we talked a lot about when I was doing this, one key thing, because we trimmed hedgerows, we put mulch in. And a lot of people think, well, we'll just put fresh mulch and it'll look good. And it does, and that's a help. As long as it's mulch appropriate. There will be some really dyed mulch.
You don't like the red mulch?
The Burger King mulch.
Wow.
The bright red.
I've never heard that.
It looks like meat. It looks like meat.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm from a mulch standpoint, you know, people can do triple shed.
Jeffrey's a mulch snob.
Triple shred, double shred. You can do larger chunks and pieces like that.
Oh
but
my gosh, this is a man who can do a podcast about mulch.
I can.
My studio for you.
Don't make me go there. No, but the hedgerow thing is something important to think about because depending on the elevation of your home, I tend to say your hedges, and usually they're yews or boxwoods or something like that, should not exceed the lower sill of the window.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because as that house gets higher up on a hill or on a berm or whatever, that hedgerow starts to go halfway up the window. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden your house looks short,
mm-hmm.
a lot shorter than the stature of the house. So keeping those things trimmed, mm-hmm. And it's important just to prune in general, but when you get yews that are really overgrown and you trim the back and they're very leggy and there's nothing left and all of a sudden, wow, it looks like sticks in front of my house. But those sort of things, your exterior lights, your sconces, mm-hmm. you know, have consistency there. Are you doing warm light or cool light?
Yep.
All of that stuff.
I love it. So
good point.
Here is, I'm going to try to wrap this up. We have staging that everyone believes is hire somebody and they bring in furniture and they may have a color theme and another theme to go along with the property. Maybe it's one room, maybe it's the entire house that gets staged, specifically a vacant home. And then there's the staging that Jeffrey pointed out right at the beginning, which is not all staging is you hire. It is how do you live? How do you live comfortably? How do you live when you host? You put your home in order before you have people over. Maybe there's some tweaks to that when it comes to staging your home for sale. Now, we're at the end of the podcast, and I just want to point out that Jeffrey mentioned the word hedgerows a bunch of times, and I'm very proud of us for not mentioning Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven and if there was a bustle in the hedgerow. So.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
It was a long way to go for that.
That was a long way to go, but I'm proud of you.
Sorry, thank you. Thank you.
We'll count on time for that.
We'll cut that one out.
That was right at the end there.
Edit.
Hey, so this is Todd with Studio 48, and this is our studio cast about staging your home. And this is with my partners, Jeffrey and Sarah.
Thanks for tuning in.
Look forward to having you tune in again.
Take it easy.